Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. That must be us. Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles, and they are not. You found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. I mean, here are some people who had kept on keeping on. They've been kept on going on. Here there's some folks that had took on missionaries and continued to do what God wanted to do. But he said here, nevertheless. Boy, that's a big word, that word's at. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I've heard of many a preacher say that first love is soul winning. That's a lie. First love, not soul winning. He said, Brother Wood, the first love is the Bible. How foolish could you be, child? Your first love is, I saw Phyllis standing here holding that baby a while ago. That's not her first love. Her first love was singing over here. And that love produced what she had in her arms. In the same way with a child of God. Your first love was when you met the Lord and God saved you, the Lord Jesus come in your heart, and you fell in love with Him. And because you loved Him, you fell in love with souls and began to get souls saved. And because you loved Him, you fell in love with the Bible. And because you loved Him, you fell out with sin. And because you loved Him, you fell out with the world. Your first love is the Savior. Oh, it's the Savior. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I'd like to say tonight, I have some things that I don't want to lose. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I know exactly what this is talking about, but I want to speak tonight. There are some things I don't want to lose. And as I look in this verse of Scripture here, I'm an odd fella. I carry a big pocket knife. Always have. I don't carry it on the plane, but I've used it in, I've been in the stock business all my life, cattle business, horse business. I used the knife and always kept an eye, always kept it sharp. And one day I was working at the church and I lost my knife. And I hate to lose anything. I'm a complete fanatic about it. It'll drive me crazy if I lose. I don't care if it's worth a quarter or a nickel or a penny or not worth nothing. I just don't lose. I don't mind giving it away. I don't mind putting it in an offering. I don't even mind throwing it away. But I hate to lose. I hate to lose it. And I lost my knife. Went about a year. I'd be in the closet. My wife said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for my knife. And I'd go in all the pockets of my suits because I put things everywhere. I found $14 a day. That's the truth. But I didn't know I had that. I put this winter suit on and I reached in there and it was $14. I said, whoo, man, I'll go home and put the rest of them on. Amen. Amen. I looked and made sure that he wasn't somebody else's breeches I was putting on. But anyway, I got to looking for that knife. My wife said, Jack, the knife is gone. You've already bought you another and forget about it. I said, I've carried that knife 16 years. I never did lose that knife thing that long, man. And so one day I laid down to go to sleep. It was during the day. And I jumped up and I said, I know what's that. And she said, what in the world are you talking about? I run out of the house, climbed underneath the church with my suit on, and there my knife was where I'd been I just remember that I was putting a sweeper on the church. It was a little bit big. The old knife razor sharp, and I'd shave that thing down and jacking that thing up and slipped it on it. And I'd laid my knife on top of that seal. Me something got in my knife and went, I don't like to lose nothing. I'm saying, I'm really hard about it. Well, there's some things I hate to lose. Now and then you'll lose a friend, a good friend. In the work of God, you'll lose a friend. I never tried to do that because I never had that many. And I tried to take care of what few friends I had. And sometimes we'll go out to the graveyard and we'll leave some of the family. And I've had, my dad said to me the other day, and he's 79. He said that we're out there at the grave again. We got a big family plot out there, a huge plot. And he said, we got so we're coming here often, aren't we? Huh? Hate to lose a friend. Went out there and left a brother-in-law that my mother had raised and grew up right there in the home with us and everything. I hate to lose people in the church and people he might have even our children. We hate to lose one of them to the devil. Amen? There are some things I hate to lose. Sometimes we lose things through carelessness. Sometimes we lose things through lack of interest. Sometimes we lose things just because they really lose their value to us, and we're not cautious enough, amen? And we lose them because they have no value. There are some things that I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, this message is a little different than it was last night, but I want you to look here. This Bible said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, here's some people who had a lot of works and a lot of labor, and I mean, they'd already got control of themselves and had patience and how they couldn't stand anybody that was evil. I mean, every liberal and modernist and worldly person, get out! I mean, even those men who said God had called them to be missionaries, they even tried them. They said, no, you're not nobody. You're liars. But God said, I got somewhat. He said, you worked so hard and you built so good and you didn't even faint in all that work. He said, you lost something. And that's that little sensitive love for the Savior. You remember when you got married, some of you did, maybe some of you didn't pick her up and carry her across there, but some of you did, and you get that after a while. But she might have picked you up and carried you across. But anyway, you remember how, you know, the first few weeks, the first few months, how, you know, goodbye, honey, and you kissed her goodbye, and you went to work, and when you walked out of the meal, you know, she's standing there, and she said, Hoppy, and I just come down to pick you up. And then went on about 2 or 3 months, and then she met you at the gate of the house. And then about 3 months later, she met you at the door. And then about 5 months later, she left a note and said, put it in the oven. Something going wrong with that love. Well, you said, Brother Wood, that's just the way it is. Yeah, but ain't the way God wants it. I preached for a man out in Texas. I've told us all over the country. His name is Joe West, a little bitty fellow about that tall. And him and his wife, I've known him. I was preaching a meeting for him last Sunday. I my boy and I were talking about it. My boy John had a birthday. And 24 years ago, I was preaching revival for Brother Joe. And God let us raise him. So I've known him quite a while. And I've never saw two people who's got children, 37 or 38 years old, I mean, that are just still on a honeymoon. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I know it, but you're ignorant, and I'm trying to tell you something. You don't have to slap your wife around. You don't have to cuss your husband. Oh, you say, I don't cuss him. I know, but we do it religiously. Amen. But Joe, he still opens the door and says, Doris, get in. He helps her in and helps her out, and he brings her flowers. They're just still, I mean, man, they just go out and eat and everything, and they didn't go to Jack Howes and learn that at school. Now, any of that phony baloney stuff, and I'm not saying about the school, I'm just saying you couldn't get me to open the door for nobody. That just ain't me. I feel like a queer if I open the door for anybody. I just feel that way. I mean, my wife, we didn't have it, 8 kids and 15 grandchildren, and everybody get in the car the best way they can. But I tell you one thing. Amen? But Joe loves his wife. And I guarantee you that everybody in that church knows it. Now, I'm exactly the opposite from Brother Joe. But it's the same way down at Shade Acre Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. You say anything you want to about Brother Wood and get by with it. But leave a little woman out of it. Now, I fell in love with Jesus. And when I got saved, I felt his hand. And sometimes my walk has got unsteady. My feet began to falter. And I felt that steadying hand of the Master when he put his hand on me and held me and kept me by the power of God. Man, I don't want to lose that kind of love. I felt his hand. I hadn't only felt his hand, but I know his heart today. I know what he's thinking. I know what he likes, and I know what he wants. Amen. I had an aunt one time. You know, it's kind of this way about a man and a woman. They'll get to acting like, you know, after years of being married. I had an aunt that had a Pekingese dog, and she got to looking like that confounded dog. Or the poor dog got to looking like her, one or the other. And you know, when that woman died, I'd go by the hospital, and she said she didn't have but one boy, and he's sick. And she said, ain't none of my grandkids coming out here to see me. And I thought to myself, I wish I hadn't come. Nasty old woman, bitter, you know. She always was that way. She's a saved woman. We just had an old, you know, one of them old, didn't have a bulldog a personality. She had a pit bulldog personality. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. But when I got saved, I began to read the Bible. And as I read the Bible, I found out what the heart of the Master is. And the heart of the Master is mission work. The heart of the Master is getting souls saved. The heart of the Master is strengthening the church and building up God's Word. I know his heart tonight, and I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. Now, you say, now, Brother Witt, I just tell you, that's just something you can't. I don't know what happened to him. But I know some folks got cold on God. I know some folks that used to be missionary-minded and walked out of church. I know some folks that went home and quit. I know some preachers closed the Bible 30 years ago and they ain't preached a lick since. Now, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Oh, you say, Brother Wood, it's just impossible. If you're really saved, if you're really, 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 it's just impossible to backslide. Well, that's all right. That's all right. You'll wake up and find out different. You say, Brother Wood, I just don't believe in backsliding. I don't only believe in it. I've practiced some of it. And if you had never backslid, it's because you ain't saved. Because if you ever been saved, there's been time when you was cold on God. Yes, sir. Ding, ling. Pick it up. Answer. Amen. But I fell in love with Jesus. I don't want to lose it. I've known his love. I mean, when something went bad wrong, I've had him to show up and say, now, Jack, you've sure been foolish. And I said, are you going to kill me? And he said, no, I'm going to love you. And you know, many times we run up to young converts and we tell them, man, if you don't get right with God, God's going to kill you. He probably ain't. He's going to probably take a bushel basket of mercy and go see him. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian. That's what you and I know there comes times when the Father will show up and give us a heavy spanking. But us fundamentalists are real easy with that. But most of the things that I've experienced in 33 years of being saved is mercy. It wasn't wrath. God is not looking for somebody to hurt. He's looking for somebody to help. Thank you. Amen. And so I've known his love, and I have experienced his loyalty. Now, there's been men and women who were unloyal one to another, but this time, when we get married to the Savior, we experience a loyalty that no one knows anything about. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I woke up in the middle of the night and called him, and he is right there. I've had a baby with a fever on his brow and not a dime in my pocket. And he is right there. One of the darkest hours of my life was in the jungles of South America. my wife and I was outside. There was no house there, and we laid down and went to sleep. And it was a little Mexican house there, a Spanish house there. The guy had a little radio about big as that thing right there. And I don't know how in the world he had it on Quito, Ecuador. And somebody started singing in English, "Just When I Need Him Most. He's ever near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most." I jumped up out of bed and hollered, "Glory to God." He walks down through the jungles of South America singing in English. What a Savior. What a Savior. Man, I don't want to lose nobody like this. And the reason I'd hate to lose his love, I've enjoyed his presence. Sorry. There's been times and periods of times and months of times and weeks of time when he showed up and come to stay a while. And we've enjoyed his presence. Kind of like Peter, James, and John said, "Let's build a tabernacle. Why don't we just stay here?" I've felt that in times. I've been with Brother Roloff years ago. I sat on your pastor, and we'd go down to old man Charlie Mule's ranch and 42, 43 preachers. And we'd go out there and wouldn't have no preaching match. We'd go out there and have fasting and praying for 3 days. I've seen old Brother Olaf lay in that apartment back there and fast 17, 18, 19 days, crying out to God. And he'd get all those preacher boys and say, "Y'all get out there and fast and pray." And we'd lay out there and drink that old water and pray and read that Bible and enjoy the presence of God. Yes, sir. I've enjoyed his presence. I want to tell you this. Tonight I have felt his power. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I don't want to lose him. Oh, you said, "Preacher, you can't lose the love of God." They did. He said they left it. I don't understand that, but I've done it and you've done it. So you might as well stick your hand up, so I plead guilty. Amen. God will say, "Well, thank God for mercy." Amen. And get right back. But he said you've left your first love even after you enjoyed his presence, after you felt his power. Peter walked outside and denied him and walked off and said, "I don't even know him." You and I'll do the same thing. What do you think you put in the book of Revelation for? Make sure me and you read it. Well, I fell in love with him. I'd hate to lose that. Secondly, I'd like you to notice, I fell in love when I got saved with the souls of men. I remember going home after I got saved. Well, the first week I was saved, preacher, I picked up the telephone. There's no boys out in Houston today, in Texas, I think. And I called him and I said, "Raymond, I said, I got a wonderful deal out here in California. You need to come out here. I got saved in Los Angeles in a mission out there. And just as soon as I got saved, on a job I ever had in my life, I got me a job. I was about 25 years old. And I was about 26 when this happened, just a few weeks later. And I called him. I said, "Ray, come out here. Got a good deal." He come out there and he just rolled up him and his wife and they got out, come in the house. He said, "What's the deal?" I said, "Man, I got saved. I won't tell you all about it." He said, "You had me drive 1,600 miles. I said, "Yeah, man. Best deal you ever got into in your life." He thought he was going to steal something, carry something off. Amen. Amen. You said, "Brother Wood, what happened?" "No, he just got saved. He just got called to preach. He just went to the University of Corpus Christi and graduated old outlaw." Many times we'd go down to that old house of his and get on our knees and cry out to God. Man, I don't want to lose that. I don't lose that. I remember going home, and I remember I had an old uncle, and he was 48 years old, and he had tattoos all over his arm. He used to get drunk, and he'd sit down in a bar, and he said, "You want to see my dog and cat fight?" And he had a bulldog tattooed on his leg, and he had a big cat tattooed on his leg. Had tattoos all over his hands and all over his fingers, and his arms were all broke where a man whooped him with a crowbar. And his wife had all the teeth knocked out where he knocked out with a jackhammer. Nice people, you know, nice people. I never will forget that night, me and Papa going in there, and Uncle Joey got on his knees and got saved. You say, "Well, Brother Jack, they don't mount so much, them kind of guys, don't." 11 years later, he died in the Larkin Street Baptist Church. You can call tonight. And here's the chairman of the board of deacons. Preacher stood up at his funeral, reached in his pocket. He said, "You know, the week before Brother Clayton died, he said he bought me this Bible. And he said he preached out of that Bible. And he said he'd give me $200 to go down to Jamaica to to visit the missionary. I'm talking about a man who was 47 years old, that had been a liability to the family, had never had a job in his life. Number a thief and a rogue all his life. A ranger had killed his brother just a few years before. God saved him. Well, I tell you, I never could get over that. I used to say all the time, God saved Uncle Joey, save anybody. I was crazy enough to name one of my boys Joey Clayton. And I swear I believe he's going to live just like his uncle. Amen. No, I tell you, God's got a hold of him. But I tell you what, he's just like Uncle Joey. He got his leg broken. He just got out of the hospital Saturday. Amen. Got hurt on the job. But I fell in love with a soul. I hate to lose that. Let me tell you something. You triumph around that, and you skip Thursday night visitation, and you skip this, and you skip that. I'm going to tell you something. When that's gone, there ain't much left. Now, I know it's really something to be in love with Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, when a man and woman loses all interest in children, there ain't much left, is there? When you see some old silly gal coming down the street, and I know when you get old, that's all right, but you know, you see some young girl coming down the street and she's going to the barber shop with that French poodle. And she said, isn't he pretty? Then the sucker, he toots all over the floor. I was right here close by one time. A woman had three of them. I was preaching a meeting right here. Hope she's not here tonight. Start coming out and messed on the floor. I said, lady, I'm in your home. I've done everything. I'm a good preacher. And I want to be a nice man. But I ain't cleaned up every stinking dog. Now, that's all there is to it. You say, that's rude. I know it, but I just ain't cleaned up over no nasty dog. I believe a dog and a cat's got two good places to go, and that's the hell as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the Bible says the dog are without. Amen. You don't like you, that's all right. I like a good dog. I ain't going to tell what I like to do to him, but I like him. But I fell in love with the souls of men. You see, souls are precious in the sight of God. They're paid for by the blood of Jesus. That's why they're so precious. That's why they're so priceless. Hey, they're so priceless that he paid for them with his own blood. There's a man the other day took a hammer. I know him. Took a hammer. Went in a hotel, an old woman. In there taking care of this hotel. He took that hammer. But he's in the cash register and he didn't intend to hurt her or nothing. He just reached in and got the money and he started to run out, and that old woman, about 70 years old, stepped in front of him and said, don't do that, don't. Of course she knew it. Down at where we work, and it's a Paul hammer lander. He hit her with that hammer and she died. And by that time, another fellow running out, stopped him. He hit him, killed him. He said, the wicked sucker ought to die in the chair. He probably will. But last week, Brother Dan had him in a little room telling him how Jesus died for him. I seen a young couple last week. Jumped out of a car with a machine gun in her hand. You said, what should the police do? Done just what they did. They killed him, and she picked up the machine gun. Charlie Rhodes died right there in that street, and we knew him. That girl grabbed that machine gun and killed her. It's tough. But that's the way the streets are. But over that funeral, it's a different story, cowboy. Here come a little one-year-old and half-girl that didn't know why mom and daddy was dead. There was a little three-year-old boy and girl, boy that he didn't know why daddy and mom was dead. And there was a little five-year-old girl there, she didn't know why mom was dead. But there was a preacher in that pulpit pleading, oh God, save these people. Save these people. I mean, every gangster and outlaw in Houston was there. And half the police force looking over the congregation. See if there's anybody in there they wanted. But I don't want to lose that sensitivity, if that's what you want to call it. That souls are perishing. And when you lose that, then you know it's easy. I don't want to lose my love for the soul, for the servants of God. I hate to lose confidence in God's servants. Many times, preacher, I think we maybe elaborate too much. And the wickedness of men and sit up on the worship of the Savior. I don't want to lose my love for the servants. I was in the Mexican worked out. I've canceled out everything for next year, and I believe I'm going to spend all next year working with the Mexicans. In Spain and whatever. I just kind of feel as like that's what I like to do anyway. And God just changed my mind or something, but that's what I like to do. But the reason I like that is that there's some kind of a humility amongst those Mexicans that we don't have, brethren. You know, you asked them about a man. And I knew in my mind that that man ain't right. And Mexican, he ain't going to say a word. He said, he's done a good work for our men. One man said the other day, he said, do you know so-and-so down there, that missionary? And you know, he's just I guess you'd call him a missionary. But that man said, oh, yeah, yeah. And he said, is he a good man? Oh, yeah. All that Mexican is doing is praising God that he won some of his people to God. That's all he cares. He don't care how much money he's got. He don't care what kind of car he's got. He don't care how much money he wastes. He don't care. All he cares about is people are going to hell, and he wants to see them saved. One man said something about a gringo the other day, and one man said, don't do it. One Mexican said, don't do that. He said, you know the great work that he did amongst our people. He cared about him falling into sin. He mentioned that. We need some of that. We're in exposing business. I believe we've got into overexposure. But I fell in love with the servants of God. And I do. I like to work with those Mexicans. I really do. But they got in that car last night. And one of them said, they come in my room, all three of them. They're going 1,700 miles. And he said, preacher, you got any money? I said, I got $5. He said, well, I think we got enough to make it. I said, here's my courtesy card. That'll get you that. I just don't want to lose that. I told him, I said, come on, sleep over in the motel with me. I just want to love God's men. I just don't. The rest of them, I just leave them alone. I tell them I've got the plague. I just leave them alone. I'll fool with them. I'll talk about it. I just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. But if a man loves God, and a woman loves God, I mean, fellowship with them. Fellowship with them. Leave that other crowd alone. Quit talking about that other crowd. Try to help those that are around. Amen. I wish we'd get this over tonight. But I hate to lose confidence in the service of God. I hate to lose the friendship of the service of God. I hate to lose the fellowship with God's men. My soul. You know, you ever done this? He said, thou hast somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. You remember when you got saved, and I know today, I know we got a little cliche. We're King James people. You ain't read enough of that Bible this year. You ain't read enough of that Bible this year. Come on now. Come on. Come on. How much have you really read? I'd hate to fall out of love with this scripture. You say, we're going to publish it. God said, read it. You know, God said more about reading than he did say publishing. God said more about memorizing it, meditating on it, and chewing it up, and sucking it down into your soul than he did anything. Amen, preacher. And you know what, folks? When I got saved, preacher, I'm honest tonight. Honest before God. I went to school 5 years in my whole life. And I got saved, but I could always read. Man, I've read hundreds of little old books, every kind of little book in the world. And since I've been saved, up in the thousands. I read something every day. I read something out of a book every day. But when I first got saved, I'd read the book of Matthew. And I tell my wife, I said, I want you to look in the book of Matthew. I said, I just read that book. I said, ain't got 28 chapters. I said, you ever read that? She said, no, I ain't never read that. I said, ain't got 28 chapters. Just look at just 5 or 6 pages. Ain't nothing. And I said, you know, the day I was reading, I read the book of Mark. It ain't got a 16 chapter in the book of Mark. And I said, you know, the day I read the book of Luke, and it ain't got but 26 chapters in it. I said, it ain't hardly nothing. And I remember when I first got saved, how I fell in love with that book. Then I remember the times in my life when I didn't love it that much, preacher. I got busy doing this, that, and the other. And I forgot about this right here. And all the time, I stand up behind the pulpit and said, man, I'm 16:11. You write that down. Don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. How long has it been since you read that book until that book spoke to you? My wife asked me Sunday, said, I want to ask you one question. Where did you get them free messages that you preach? And preacher, I don't do this. I've never done it in my life. But I did it last week. I said, I wonder how much you could read if you just read the Bible and you really got interested in the Bible and you had time. How much of that Bible could you read in one day? So I got up one morning and I didn't have too much to do because I was sick and couldn't get up. So I just read. And when that evening came, when it wasn't no evening came, when midnight came, I had read 1/4 of the Bible. I read 1/4 of the Bible in one day. I forget how many books I read. I know I read through Genesis and Leviticus and what have you. And then I was going back and forth reading different portions of the Bible. And I figured it up with an ad machine. It was 1/4. What was you doing that for? For me. I'd been preaching and pouring it out and pouring it out and pouring it out. And it wasn't nothing pouring in. I'd read me 2 chapters. You know how you do it. 2 chapters here and 2 chapters over there and 1 chapter over here and 1 verse over there. And putting it out. Preachers calling you on the telephone all over the world. I mean, giving them all kinds of advice. And finally, the jug was empty. And one time I drove up on a dairy and I seen a little calf, a little Jersey calf. And a guy had put a big bucket of milk out there with a nipple on. He was sucking on that thing. And a guy had went on and got to doing something and forgot about it. And the milk was gone, and he sucked his belly full of air, and he looked like to me he needed an Alka-Seltzer. And you know, I see a lot of Christians like that. They're just full of hot air. And I believe sometimes it's probably up in my pulpit where the problem is. Now, ain't no use us criticizing everybody else. This is us here tonight. There are other crowd. Them liberals and modern ain't down here tonight. But I remember when I fell in love with the Scripture, and I'd hate to lose faith in the Scripture. And you know why? Me and the night are trying plans. And men have study courses and schemes and whatever you want to call them. It's because they've lost faith in this book. Why do men perish from their stand? Because they lost faith in that book. I've never lost faith. If I preach this book, it'll do the job. I was preaching one time, preacher. I preached on hell. I couldn't have been over 27, 8-year-old. And I was sweating and running on my face. And I was right outside of Galveston, a little town there, in an old building, about 40, 50 people there. Man, I preached it. I was... He just got off of drugs, and my mind wasn't too sharp. But I knew men was going to hell, and I was a preaching on it. And them mosquitoes there that long. Boy, it was awful. Doors open, windows open, and I preached. There was a man there. He was a truck driver, about 30 years old. Walked out that back door, held on that seat, and his hand turned white. And I was in a church, in the Calvary Baptist Church in Fresno, Texas, here just 3 or 4 or 5 years back. A man walked up to me and said, "Do you know me?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't know you." He said, "You know that man leading us in about Joe Tiger?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm his cousin." He said, "About 25 years ago, he brought me to hear you preach on hell. And he said, you preached on hell and the water run down your face. He said, I saw you for years. And he said, I drove that old truck across America lost. And he said, I'd go from coast to coast. But he said, one day, God, about 5 or 6 years ago in Arkansas, he said, I saw a little white church sitting at the top of the hill. And it said, slow down for a church. He said, I pulled in there. And he said, I went in there and I said, sir, could you tell me how to be saved? He said, there's a man. The man said, why do you want to know how to be saved? He said, one guy done told me 25 years ago about going to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. And he said, I've been thinking about it 25 years. That man sat there and said, I want to tell you tonight, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And God don't need your persuasion. God don't need your arguing. God don't need your piano. And if he did, what would the missionary do? God's got a Bible. God's got a Bible. And man's born by the Word of God. Ain't no other way to be saved. You say, I believe you're a Calvinist. I believe you're a nut. Ain't a drop of Calvinist blood in me. But I believe the Word of God slashes the heart. God plants the seed. God births a man into the family of God. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He didn't say, I'm not ashamed of the arguing. Thank you. I fell in love with the scripture. And I hate to lose that. You know, folks, 33 years I've been saved. I've met a lot of men. I got some friends tonight across this country. Carl Lackey, your pastor here, and Brother Don Green. These men here become a preacher. Ain't nobody back down in the past ever gave me nothing. A boy here a while back, I was up preaching a meeting in North Carolina. I said, I better go down and see my old preacher friend, old Brother Lackey. And I went down and he's laying in bed sick. He said, come back in this back room, I want to talk to you. I went back in, that old man pulled out a roll of $100 bills. He said, I heard your wife been sick and just want to give you this. Help you get down the road, preacher. I said, Lord God. I said, look, Carl, you're sick and your wife's laying there dying with cancer. And you've had a stroke. I said, Carl, you're going to need that. He said, this church don't need nothing, boy. We got plenty of money. He said, I'm fixing to have $250,000 building plan. I said, Carl, I wouldn't borrow that much money if I was you. He said, I don't have to borrow nothing. I got it in the bank. That's Carl. When you've been there 40 years, maybe you will. Man, I hate for your pastor to have to pick up the telephone and say, Brother Lackey, you heard about Brother Jack? He's gone. No, preacher. I've made up my mind. I'm going.